right, everybody. Welcome. Always a pleasure to see you, and a great amount of gratitude for giving me your time tonight. I really appreciate it. August has been an awesome month. We've been working. This is our fourth and final Q&A call on money, wealth, and abundance. This was the email that went out today. You know, I've got a number of questions came in today. We can always open your mic up, raise your hand, type, and talk to Brian as we go about our day. Really, really looking forward to it. We're going to do a little bit of a recap and really help bring this into sharp focus for you. The first webinar, the first week is, you know, what are your beliefs around money? You know, really how they came to be and more importantly, how to change them. Because ultimately, they drive what you ask for and what you don't ask for. So if you're not asking for money, wealth, abundance, prosperity, and again, this is the neural ask. This is not just, hey, I ask for money. There's a lot that goes in to this ask and what it means. So we spent some good time on that. The second webinar was designed on how do you manifest and ask, how do you actually do that? It's following your beliefs. It's following the wealth creation mindset. Are you asking from this family of origin belief system? And it spent a lot of times talking about how even when people ask for money, they'll spend a certain amount of time, and we always balance, and you'll get it again tonight, the balance between time and the emotional attachment. If you attach a lot of emotions to a request, then it's energized in a neural pattern. You need less time. Less emotions, you need more time. But on the unasked arena, that's where we tend to worry about our bills or, you know, not believe that something special could happen for us. All the things that our old mindsets, you know, avoid disappointment, don't risk too much, don't lose, etc., etc. A lot goes into understanding how you unask and how to finally reverse that. And again, these webinars are up and taped. If you have not listened to them, really, really ponder catching them. And then last week, the third webinar was really about outrageous requests. You know, why now? Why do you need to ask for outrageous amounts? Well, the first thing is by asking for, and if you suck at outrageous, it's still way greater than good or above average because it follows the laws. And by energizing the outrageous, by putting the emotional attachment to it, by spending the time energizing that, it's far easier. The challenge becomes if you're already struggling to ask, well, then to ask at an uber outrageous level almost becomes impossible. You know, so that's really what we're summarizing tonight. Now, it was really important, and we spent some time on this, you got to write this down. And the email talks about this. This is a collapsing process, you know, because if you're just thinking about wealth driving to work and you're going like, oh, well, you know, it could be some of this, and yeah, but it's really that, and oh, I just took a phone call, and now I'm back to thinking about it, but there's really this, and I'm not so sure about that, and then I'm thinking about work, and then I got a to-do list, and then I remembered my kid. Well, this, for the most part, if you consider this to be your asking time for wealth and abundance, it's actually unasking. And when you actually collapse your thoughts, put them down in black and white, it becomes problematic. So we're closing up money, wealth, and abundance tonight. We start parenting next month. And if you don't have children, you still want to do this or your kids are grown, because parenting is really just another word for leadership. and I will focus on leading children, and because employees are much like children, you're still going to get a lot of value. And again, you can pop on and see what you like. Now, in preparing for this, I always ask for special things to happen. This infographic popped up. And again, I want to remind you, if you even pull the notes down, you know, think about this later tonight. Write this down over the weekend. You know, put on your calendar right now, you know, a 30-minute block or maybe two 30-minute blocks or a couple of hours, because we're going to go into some specifics. Okay, Bill, how do you really do this? You know, make sure you're writing it down, your beliefs, you're asking, that it's outrageous. And in the week that I was using to prepare for this, this great infographic came in. Here's a friend of mine, Dan Rusta, Rick Ponton, somebody I've known for a long time. You notice that's my note, what we're going to do. I want to ask you this question. If you saw this infographic, 18 things that mentally strong people do, I want you to ponder this. If this was you, it really a better than curve than other people, that you were really good at most to all of these 18 things. You know, reflect on progress, tolerate discomfort, think productively, expend energy, evaluate staying power, prepared for success on their own metrics, enjoy time, willing to fail, celebrate, accept, invest, willing, kind. They stay happy. They embrace change. They move on. It's so important for you to understand. You'll notice again that I want to do this 18 things for, if we change this to epically strong people, you know, what would these new sentences look like? You know, so let's go through them. They don't just reflect, they embrace, they grab all the lessons for progress. They don't tolerate discomfort. They require discomfort. Why? Because they're going so fast, they know that they're going to tolerate it, but when it comes to the law of attraction, this ask versus unasked, think about it. Is, if you had this great sentence that said you tolerate discomfort, is that an ask or an unask? And I would tell you it's an ask for someone who's good. It's not an ask if you're epic. It's an unask for epic. Because you embrace, everything's out of your comfort zone. You live in the magic zone. Discomfort becomes your comfort. They don't think productivity. They think, feel, focus, act, drive, demand. They don't expend mental energy wisely. They're lighter fluid on mental energy. They evaluate core beliefs and are constantly upgrading them. You hear me talk about this as forever work. They have staying power and beyond. They're not just prepared to work and succeed. They do work and succeed. When you think about it, they are prepared as a little failure with honor, isn't it? You know, they enjoy time alone. They relish time alone. They commit to what it means. Willing to fail? Oh, no. Man, they embrace, they demand. They live over the edge. Again, it's up there under the comfort zone. They move on? No, they're not moving on. That's an away pattern. Think about this. They keep control? No. Greatness is directly inversely proportionate to uncertainty. They let go of control. Their speed is their control. Their greatness is, they don't keep control. They demand change. They don't stay happy. They are kind is probably the one I love the best. Willing to? No, they take. Again, when you think about it, willing, isn't that a little failure with honor? They invest. They accept. They celebrate. Think about how all of these things, and think about if you even went back and did your words, your sentences for something like this, and you did your infographic, you know, what does a mentally strong you do? There's a lot of value to sitting here and going through this. That's how you create uber abundance. And again, it's not just money, it's health, it's love, it's joy, it's friendship, it's spirituality, it's everything that you put under that curve, under that definition. Now, we had some great written questions come in. First question, this is actually two questions. This person wrote, this topic has me in a high level avoidance and an away pattern. It is apparent now that it is the biggest block to my evolution. I've stated this before and see that this is where the real work is. So great, do the work, analyze. We're going to go through this more. You're going to see in another Q&A a little deeper dive on this. Make sure that the new box top that you're using really is the new you, the powerful you, the invested and growth you, the, you know, massively abundant you is doing this work. It's crucial. It cannot be the old software because it'll have built-in breaks and bumps. Now, the second question is, how do I manifest and ask? I don't, and it's almost like I'm not allowed to do that. Now, I put in the italics so you can see this as the viewers tonight. You do your job and get paid. Don't ask for anything more, and you will get what you deserved. Now, ponder, is this an ask, or is this an unask? And I would tell you, while it has good elements, while it has elements of the ask, in the bottom line, it's an unask because you're not asking for anything. You're just hoping the system gives you what you deserve, and now we've got to go to your deserving software and think about this. If this was your family of origin and this is what they told you about, you know, creating wealth for yourself, I'm going to bet they don't have a great software package to make you feel like, and because there's now a hidden parenthesis that gets at, and you deserve awesome, massive, epic amounts of wealth, or it's like, no, you get blood, sweat, and tears, you get to get by, you get to pay your bills, you get to, you know, work till you retire, and you get to save money. And again, all of these monies work till you retire for most people. Retire is an away pattern. Saving money, think about it. We talked about this in detail last. Again, you can save money in a towards pattern, but most people save it. When you know that money is energy, energy is flow, you don't hold on to energy, you flow it. So saving only becomes applicable when it's part of the flow pattern. That's why very few people really actually create this in a towards pattern. Now, I've stoplighted, if your self-esteem is tied to being humble, then you're taught not to ask, but just accept. It's absolutely crucial to redesign this, and I have a lot of arguments. This is actually the Joe Sakic tool. If you don't know Joe Sakic, he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. Hockey players tend to be very humble. We see Joe on TV. They interview him. He's like, oh, shucks, I just skated hard, I was lucky. And they think, oh, wow, that's Joe Sakic. We love him. But he is not that way in the locker room. In the locker room, he's not arrogant. He's not a prick. but he's not this aw shucks guy. Humble is not a Hall of Fame goal to have in the locker room. Now think about this. Where is the ask, the real ask, for wealth and abundance? Is it in the public arena? Or is it in the locker room? Or is it in both? And you get to put this in your box top. I would tell you it's in both. It's in the public and in it's this. Again, I have been accused of being arrogant before. I get that. I understand that. And at the same time, I'm arrogant about you, about your greatness, about your potentiality. This is the inevitable you system. So I want you to see. So sometimes I am who I am in a seminar because I need to model great behavior for you guys. Not everybody has these great models. And it offends some people. Some people look at it and go, oh, well, that's kind of like BS-y. Yeah, I don't think so. But again, this is your box top. You get to design this. You know, so it's a contextual request, the locker room versus the public. And certainly in the locker room, you better be asking for money. That's in your business meetings. That's with your family. That's with the team. That's when you're teaching kids. You better be talking. So this person goes on to continue, again, stoplighted. We don't talk to others about it, namely siblings, wives, family, members, friends. We don't talk about wealth. So we all stay poor and happy in this model. Is it what you want to design in your new software? I want to set up a daily schedule that addresses this and changes the software. So this is how I'm going to tell you to work on doing this, top to bottom. And everywhere in between this, top to bottom and everywhere in between. You're going to analyze and baseline, and you want to keep what's good. I want to emphasize it. That's why it's bolded and underlined. It's not that old you is bad. Old you is just old. It was great at acquiring shit in 1961. It's not great in 2016. So you're going to analyze and keep what's good about you so that we can write enhancements and make it even better. Number two, you want to understand the intention of the less than resourceful software because you want to meet that intention at an equal or greater value. What does that mean? So what's less resourceful? Let's say, you know, your family of origin was, you know, we got to avoid disappointment at all costs. You're going to get your hopes up. You want to avoid disappointment. Now, when we say, what's the intention of avoiding disappointment? It's so that you don't feel bad. So to not feel bad, you want to feel good. And when do you want to feel good? When you're losing, when you're falling, when you're failing. So it's not avoid disappointment. So now the new software that you're going to write meets the avoid disappointment, don't feel bad, feel good, lose and fail. It meets it at a greater than or at a minimum equivalent level. Number three, choose the new design. What are the new thoughts? What are the new words? What are the new sentences that you're going to make? What are the new beliefs? You're going to put them in a smart format. Now, you're ready to write your I Have a Dream speech. And it's got to give you goosebumps. That's the most critical. Why? We say this all the time because then we know we're in the emotional matrix. If it doesn't give you goosebumps, you're just saying it. You don't believe it. You don't feel it. And it's not going to do much to your brain rewiring. you know, identity statement. If you want that tool, if you don't know what that is, this is a very powerful tool. You're going to want to write and repeat and own a new identity statement. I, Bill Sumner, see, hear, feel, know with great certainty that I am an abundant, powerful, tapped in, resourceful man who has taken every defeat and turned it to victory, who's taken every kick in the stomach and became stronger, and I flow money and the universe dances, blah, 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 blah. You change your identity versus I, Bill Sumner, work hard, don't ask, get what I deserve, hope for the best, you know, don't talk about it. We're going to change that identity statement. Number 7, timeline tool. Now, if you notice over here, there is down here in the right. Brian, can they see my two timeline? I don't even know if my syntax on the right comes through. But over there, I've given you both a timeline tool. See, there it is. And I've given you a clean timeline tool, meaning I'm not writing on it. So you can have this one to print off and size and resize the way you want. Here's the value of the timeline tool. Whether these are 5-minute blocks, whether these are 1-hour blocks, it's designed for you. You're asking for or you don't want. This is the towards, this is the way. 10 is emotional intensity meter. EIM is how you see me write it. I don't always write it that way. You see me write emotions, but, you know, so now we're going to track time. So if you wake up in the morning and you feel great and you got a little 2 going there, a 4 going there for energy, and you meditate and raise your even better and this is awesome or whatever, and then you go to work and maybe the drive, you're not thinking abundance, but you're not thinking unasking. So this drops away, and at work you get a bad email, and then this, and then you go here, and then it's up here, and then it's down here. You can measure this both on the intensity, why can't I not spell intensity? That doesn't look right. And repetition, meaning the time that you spend doing this, which is the two ways we actually rewire the brain. So, you use the timeline tool. And then last, in-flight correct, because you're going back to using the Kanai tool. What was awesome about yesterday? What was awesome about that meeting? What could have been even better? And then you finish with and re-anchor the old. Now, Brian, before I go on, this was really designed to answer this question about I want to set up, you know, I want to look at what's going on. It's really how to give you the fundamentals to how to change this. Before I take my next question, is there any question? Does this person want to open their mic, chat, anything that I can add value to anybody on this question? I'll take a sip of my water here and see what you guys think.
How do you save and be in the flow instead of save, say, acquire wealth for future use?
So, a lot of people, when you think about saving, you'll hear save for a rainy day. You will hear you want 3 months, you know, salary in the bank, you know, cash flow liquid for you so that if you get laid off and if you make more money, you want 6 months salary and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's 401k is savings versus I hope you all know this, that like passbook savings, it's got some simple interest, is really just burning away extra money. So when you're flowing money, you can save the salary, but while you're asking for this, your I have a dream speech is about the future, is about what you want. It's about how this savings is going to grow. And it's not about, oh, I'm retiring, and it's not about I'm saving for a rainy day. That's an away pattern. Saving for a rainy day, again, I remember away patterns are not bad. Don't stick the knife in the socket is an away pattern, but it's necessary. So yes, while we all get rained on from time to time, you know, and it's not bad to have money for when you get rained on, but think about the fact that you are commanding to yourself that you need money for when it rains. Because what you're saying is you don't have enough. That's who gets programmed. Someone who is wealthy, do they have enough for a big rainstorm? And the answer is, of course they do. The real challenge with wealth is, you know, the diversity of your portfolio. It's the liquidity elements. It's the risk elements that you're taking. It's the stop loss elements that you're doing. You know, wealthy people look at flow different. Think about that. If you were truly, truly focused on how your portfolio, what is liquid, what is tied up in longer term investment vehicles, managing risk. Some of your portfolio high risk, some of your portfolio, you know, you even talk about portfolio. You know, does that sound like savings? You know, do you have the stop loss on? Wealth, abundance, etc. talks differently than people who feel like they have to save. And again, you know, we can look at the emotional intensity. Most people actually have some fear, some negativity, and again, even if you have satisfaction that you have saved some money, isn't that an away pattern? If you have satisfaction that you saved money, if you don't understand that, you have to raise your hand or open your mic. And when we look at what's the emotional intensity meter on your portfolio, for most people, it's could be exhilaration. If you're at exhilaration, you tend to be more wealthy. If this is more fear-based, or there's way more caution, or I've got to have, you know, blah, 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 and now you're running the reasons why you're sitting there listening to this call, and you're going like, well, I could never have, or I can't have a portfolio. And when you ask people, why can't you? They say, well, I don't have any money. You know, and we haven't done this in a while, but again, for those of you who've been around, you know, I always do the paperclip tool for anybody who says they don't have money. Paperclip tool, true story, young man, probably 2006 now, maybe 2008. Never quote me too much on time in history. I live so fast that it could have been two months ago. I think it's longer. Paperclip tool. This is when the internet was really starting to blow up in the late 2000s, zeros, the aught decade. And he said, can I take one paperclip and can I trade it for something, trade it for something, trade that for something, and I'm going to take 1 year and I want a $300,000 home. Can I do that? Starting with a paperclip. And I say, oh, no, he failed at his manifestation it was 100 trades in 1 year. I say, yeah, no, he failed because it was 42 trades and it took him 9 months and his home was $330,000 in Scottsdale, Arizona. Started with a paperclip. So you can't say, well, the reason why I can't have a portfolio is because I have no money. You don't have a portfolio because you don't have a mindset for wealth. That becomes a much bigger problem because wealthy people know how to take paper clips and turn them into money. What else, Brian? Anything else on this important question and where we are right now?
That's all we got right now.
OK. Hey, let me go to another pre-question. Great pre-question came in 10 minutes. You probably didn't think this was going to get loaded. Came in at 6:50. I've been following your program for 6 months. I prepared my model of the world, you know, and yes, I have reviewed it. I get the concept of replacing, upgrading. I reviewed several of the tools you've referred to, but what I don't get is how does one replace? What's the process? That's really the question. Since you cannot simply insert a disk into a drive, you know, what physical action does one take? Yes, there isn't a physical drive, you know, but there's a soft drive. It's the habitual sentences you use, and that burns in the neurons, that burns in the neural patterns. You can repeat these sentences over and over, or you can say them with high intensity, or both. And you can certainly do this in the glass half empty negative, which is what most people tend to do. They'll start thinking money, think money, and then they'll allow themselves to feel failure or feel fear because they just saw some economic news, you know, and so now they feel, they think money, feel. So again, the feelings are so crucial. Because that's what's doing the wiring. It's the habitual sentences, which comes both in spoken form, comes in silent thought. It's what you're thinking about, even when you're not saying it. You're driving to work, you know, dreaming your dream. You know, what are those habitual sentences? So you wire the emotions along with it. And that is the one exception. You know, again, I always say in seminars, webinars, fake it till you make it never works. There is one exception. And if anybody asks me about the one exception, I'll tell you, nobody ever asked me. It's because the one exception is repetition. So if you fake it till you make it over and over and over, I say it doesn't work because if you fake being wealthy, you know, now when you start that pattern, you have two problems. One, you're still poor. And two, you're also now a liar because you're not wealthy. So you're battling two. But if you stay in the pattern, but it's very rare that you're going to stay in the pattern because there's not emotional joy when you're faking it. And when the first, in the 10 moment, the first crisis, the old habitual thoughts that are wired in and those sentences take over, so it very, very rarely works. But this notion of saying, and again, combine this with the one that I just asked and answered. You're going to look at old you. You're going to keep what you love. You're going to discard what no longer serves new you. You're going to discard it with honor, with love, with the intentions that it came with. Even if you had abusive parents, you can argue they're abusing you to make you tougher. That's why they got abused, because they weren't tough enough, blah, blah, blah. Again, there's some fur and hair on that one, but again, you can take good intentions. That is one of the crucial 14 presuppositions to NLP. There is always, by law, it's the glass half empty, half full, always both. There's always good intentions underlying everything, even the worst of the worst. Now, again, I don't want to get into that right now. If you have a question, certainly ask it. But you look at old you, you keep what you love, you discard what you don't want, you choose the new design, and then you match new sentences, new words, new thoughts to them, and then you energize them. How? With both emotion, and now you start to say them. You talk into a recorder. You type into a journal and a mission log over and over again, and you catch when does the old you pop in and out? When does it rear its ugly head and block you and stop you and fight with you? So awesomely important for that you do this work that you feel this greatness happening. Now, let's jump to another one. This came in to my inbox this week as well. Abraham Hicks, you know, don't get too hinky if you don't like channeled ancient entities, which is who Abraham is. I like Esther Hicks because I like her material. So whether it's an ancient entity speaking through her or it's me telling, it doesn't matter. It's wisdom. You can look at the source if you want, and then you judge the content regardless, because even an idiot can speak wisdom, and a wise person can speak foolhardily if they're caught in the wrong arena at the wrong time. You know, again, this is all in this notion that money is materialistic and it's not spiritual. You know, we want you to remember that you're here where spirit has materialized. You cannot separate yourself from the aspect that is. And while you're here in these bodies, you cannot separate yourself from that which is physical or material. All of the magnificent things that you ask for of a physical nature is spiritual in nature. So you're flowing energy. So you're asking for outrageous, epic money. Why? Because you give it away. You put it to great purpose. You take care of you and your family. You enjoy your life, because that's what money can do for you. So, we have come to an end of my prepared content. We have 20 more minutes. Anybody can ask anything. And as always, if for some reason something popped up, you even want to change the topic, you're more than happy. This is my time with you to ask anything that you want from me that I can help you with, that I can serve you with. This is a challenging arena because most, you know, do not ask for wealth. They ask to pay bills. They ask for, you know, a better house. You know, you could argue, oh, well, that, well, Bill, that's a torch pattern, right? Asking for a better house. No, it's not a torch pattern, because this is an incremental request. It's almost a failure with honor. Why, if you understand this, why wouldn't you ask for the mansion that you want? And again, it's not mansion because I'm hooked on material things. It's a mansion because it's your mansion. And whether it's, you know, Taj Mahal, whether it's the most amazing views, whether it's property, whether it's a home in the mountains and one down here, whether it's a home on the ocean, it doesn't matter. It'll have an I have a dream aspect, and then a better house comes along the way. But having a better house as a target isn't really an ask for wealth. Now, is it? Now, where you will, and again, we'll get into this, you know, next month in spades, you'll ask for more for your kids. And that'll be very legitimate. I want my kids to go to a great school. I want my kids to have, you know, the best lessons, be they sports, be they music, be they whatever. Oh, those are torch patterns. But then you have to ask yourself, you know, what am I asking for me? If I'm asking for the best for them, am I asking for the best for me? And that's where you're going to trip yourself up. Brian, what questions do we have to end the night with? Awesome, burning, fierce questions.
We had one comment. Maybe I've missed something. Feels like I'm coming in on the middle. Yeah, we've had 3 calls already. You can go to the link in the email that we sent out this morning, and we'll also send another link out this week for all the recordings of these calls on money, so you can go back and catch the ones that you missed. And then
thank you for coming on. I hope there were, even if you're feeling a bit confused, no worries, glean what you can. We do these calls every week. Go watch the first three webinars in this series. Go watch the beginning of this webinar. And then jump on next week or a couple weeks from now and say, hey, I want to ask a question now that I'm caught up on wealth and abundance. Again, this is for you guys tonight. These alternating, we're going to do Tuesday next week, right? That's after Labor Day. What's the date for next Tuesday?
That is the 6th.
9-6, 7 p.m. Mountain Daylight. So welcome to the call if you're just joining tonight. Appreciate it.
And then we got another question here. When speaking about something that has an element out of our control, like weather, is it still considered failing with honor if we have a sentence like, I'm going to try to paint the deck next week?
So remember, try is the quintessential, failure with honor tool that I teach, try and pick the pen up, but then I also, depending on the level of complexity, if you're actually trying to play the piano and you're struggling with the song, that's not an away pattern and that's not a failure with honor. Trying to paint the deck, let's take it to a deeper level. So for instance, if you have committed to your wife or you're the wife, you've committed to your husband that you're going to take care of this task and you're worried about rain, what does an epic person do? You come in and tent the damn desk or tent the dang deck. You tent it. You defeat the rain. Again, in my military background, you get a mission. It's the weather affects everybody, so you have to look. If you say, I'm going to try and paint the deck, again, in casual conversation, I get that. And what I'm more interested in is which software is saying it, old or new. Because if you say, well, I don't really need to tent the deck, that's an expense and an effort, and I'm just going to wait for a dry weekend, then it's not, I'm going to try and paint the deck next weekend. It's going to be as soon as the weather is great, I am going to paint the damn deck. Because the other thing about, again, taking it to the limit, when you try and paint the deck and you say, hey, the weather's out of my control, well, now because you're in the try software, anything's out of your control. Well, Friday was a rough day at work. Well, there was a scheduled something. Hey, we had, friends announced on Thursday they're having a party and I wanted to go to the yard, blah, 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 blah. You are absolutely correct when you say things are out of my control. People that, again, I don't want to be absurd about this. A paint in the deck is just one of your honeydews, one of your chores. You do it when you do it. I talk all the time about, the Zen expression that before enlightenment, I mowed the lawn. After enlightenment, I mowed the lawn. Why? Because the lawn needs to be mowed. I get that. Decks need to be painted. I get that. As a legitimate question, you really have to look at the software, because if you're trying to paint the deck, yeah, my spouse, my amazing barber, she can hear when I'm not committed to getting something done, because I do wishy-washy language all over. She'd, honey, will you do this weekend? Yeah, I got to get a bike ride in, and I'm hemming and hawing all over, and I'm praying for rain so I don't have to paint the deck. So I don't know if that answered the question or not. You can type back and ask, but what's our next question?
We've got a hand raised, so I'm going to unmute Mark's mic. Hey, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Can you hear
Hello,
me, Bill?
Mark.
Hey, hi.
Getting ready for a hurricane down there. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Bill? Great.
Good. Thank you.
Just getting back to the question of how do you manifest these things? How do you make them happen? I mean, once you've got, for example, your identity statement and all of that, I mean, do you say mantras every day? Do you meditate every day in the early stages in order to reinforce these thoughts into your mind? How do you do it physically? Because you really got to do something to make it happen. Your goals, you have your list of to-dos and that kind of thing, but then how do you make it happen? How do you get that focus?
So there is conscious mantras that are in essence new, and then there's unconscious old mantras that you can say at the drop of a hat. That's never going to happen. What was I thinking? Why would I want that? That's stupid. I can't believe this happened. By law, we are constantly saying some habitual sentence. So you've got to get conscious about changing those habitual sentences. So if you drive it through mantras, if you drive it through meditation, you meditate today when you sit in traffic. You meditate today when you watch, you know, relaxing TV tonight, perhaps. You meditate today when you sit there and have your morning cup of coffee. Now, whether it's legs folded, you know, finger thumb in a circle, and you're repeating, you know, Om, which is the stereotyped of manifestations, that's not how I meditate. My biggest meditations are very active. They occur when I'm on my bicycle. I got a couple hours out there. I don't have my phone. It's one of the few times my phone is not on. It's me. I ride. I did the same canyon climb this year till I had my two surgeries last week. I did 82 of those climbs, and they're all 2 hours. That's 1,600 miles sitting in a bike seat climbing the same 9-mile canyon road. Why? Because that's where I'm meditating. That's where I'm thinking. That's where I stop and make a voice note. I stop and record something. So how do you manifest? You're manifesting today. If you're manifesting in an unconscious old pattern, it's going to be whatever old Mark was capable of creating plus some. If you want to be new Mark, if you want to be, you know, uber epic Mark, you know, then you've got to use the new sentences that go along with this guy, and they have to become the new habit. Now, they'll feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, or maybe a little outrageous at first. That's why I use the word a lot. I like using the word outrageous, because while most people don't like the words for themselves, if I ask you, well, what do you want to teach your child, the interesting thing is sometimes they don't even want to teach their child. Why? Because they don't want them to get disappointed. They don't want them to get their hopes up. And now you know you're really in your old crappy software. Because if you really think about what you want your child to want, you want your child to be their legend. Again, whatever their legend is, it's the inevitable you. I don't care what the legend is. The new software will define it. And once that's defined, then they act, think, feel, and use habitual sentences that's connected to the identity statement. So if you use mantras to get there, if you use meditation to get there, you know, how physically do it, where you caught it in my answer to your question, it's the SMART goals that you set. Mm-hmm. So you measure, you know, am I researching this marina? Am I looking at that investment vehicle? I need to read 6 hours. I have a book author I want to complete. I want to finish this Anthony Chara module by this date. And then you're doing it. And then once you finish the module, you know, then if you're doing a Chara thing or you're doing an investment thing, you know, once you do the finish the reading assignment, well, then you got to go do something. And what is that? Well, if you don't know what that is, go find an expert to ask. They have knowledge, and they're always willing to help you. And if you don't have an expert, pay for an expert. Somebody's always willing to take your money. And if they're a great expert, it's a great investment. If they're a bad expert, it's a great investment. And I want you to think about that again. And that's not just for you, Mark. That's for everybody. If they are a great expert, then you got a great investment of your money, because they gave you great advice. If they are bad experts, mark this, Brian, you made a great investment because you now know what a bad expert looks like so that it'll help you find a good one. And that becomes the new habitual thinking, thoughts, feelings. Does that help, Mark?
I thought that was very good, Bill. That was very insightful. I appreciate that. I have to go over this again. It's going to be available tomorrow, right? I can go back over this tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
But Brian will generally have them up sometime within 24 hours. He'll send a note out mm-hmm. to the people that were on this call and say, hey, here it is. Or sometimes in the syntax for next week, you'll see here's last week's call. These four we're making available for everybody.
Wonderful.
But thank you, sir. Great question.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah.
What else we got, Brian?
That's all we got.
Going once? Going twice? Going twice? Going twice? Everybody have a very great, awesome night. It's always a pleasure. I hope we got some good value for you here. Thank you for your time, and I will catch you hopefully next week. Same bat time, almost. Same bat channel for sure. Take care, everybody.